Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about public safety issues as we get to the opening of the new MGM National Harbor Casino. My guest is Prince George's County Police Chief Hank Stawinski. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Tawana. She had a question about a community participation, Chief.
Tawana, I appreciate the question. And one of the things that I've said in addressing that same question is that you as a taxpayer have an expectation that we will come to the table with the basis of a plan that can be effective. We did have an opportunity for the community to review the plan at Friendly High School, and I took the extra step of having an open forum at our District 7 station, again, a couple of days after that to get additional input. But really, what we wanted to do was to create a plan that would facilitate motion. But at the beginning of this process, a lot of what we are using in that plan now was merely prospective. So if we had road widening occur, if we had additional signage, if the off-ramp was completed on time, and we didn't have the infrastructure that we knew we would have, and we weren't able to present that to the public, once we had the actual infrastructure that we knew we would be dealing with, as well as some plans that involved our department, but again, it's a countywide effort, as well as our partners at the state, our partners at the Virginia Department of Transportation, State Highway Administration, a whole series of important partners to this. That's where we collaborated and came to the public with a plan, looking for your input. But we wouldn't have been doing our job properly if we came without the basis for that plan. And that's what we did. And we were welcoming that input at Friendly and in the days following that. And some of that input has been incorporated.
Well, Tawana, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phones, I want to ask about the issue that has been a somewhat difficult lesson learned in Anne Arundel County. When the casino was built, they learned very quickly that many of their pockets of criminal activity took place in the garage, and they had to really beef up security. It could be argued that they were surprised at the level of, you know, robberies as well as other kinds of activity going on there. What is the plan? What is the strategy that you can talk about for the garage here? Because this is a much, much larger facility than Maryland Live.
A couple of things. To speak to the community about the level of sophistication that the Prince George's County Police Department is now capable of. That conversation 2 years ago, a good friend of mine, Todd Fasulo, is the number two at the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police. So in meeting Mark Moore, I also took advantage of talking to Todd and saying, can you show me how you manage this hospitality industry? So I had the opportunity to see both sides of that, but we also brought many other people from the department out to Las Vegas. We benefited from some of our partners who went first. You're talking about Maryland Live in Anne Arundel County. We're talking about the Horseshoe in Baltimore. But we also took the opportunity to visit other casino, other entertainment venues. With respect to the garage itself at MGM, the message to the public, to anybody who think that this might be an opportunity for them to go into an area and take advantage of people, from the moment you reach the MGM, understand that you are on camera. You are recorded. It is high definition. And that information, in conjunction with the fact that we have sent investigators to schools that will facilitate policing a hospitality environment, policing a casino environment, but also working in conjunction with MGM, they've got an almost $1.5 billion investment. So our resources, their resources, working in conjunction with one another to provide a safe experience. But again, it comes back to where I began. We have a rapidly expanding hospitality industry in Prince George's County. I have so much confidence in the men and women of this department to form partnerships, to be effective. And going back to some of that strategic thinking that Chief High asked me to take part in a dozen years ago, in the last 6 years now, we've had 6 years of consecutive reductions in crime back to back to back. We've cut it by almost half. It was almost 40,000 instances in 2010. And right now we're at just shy of 16,000 instances. That's because we restructured the department. We took training seriously. We've taken the opportunity to look at strategy, to use data to much better advantage. I was very privileged to be down at NIJ today. I started my day downtown, and I'm going to finish it downtown, talking about how you partner with the research and academic community to make policing more effective. And we've incorporated that kind of thinking into our plan, not just about traffic, but also about crime, also about what kind of crimes that are particular to a casino environment. And we've taken the opportunity to prepare ourselves for that. Now, that said, things will occur that are unforeseen. We can't tell you right now how many people are going to come to the opening of the MGM. But we can tell you that we have a plan that facilitates motion of that traffic through intersections. We can't say exactly what kind of crimes may occur at the MGM, but I can say that we have a very sophisticated group of people, both in terms of our homeland security assets, looking at counterterrorism, all the way down to investigating vice, all the way down to the patrol officers deterring activity at the perimeter of the entire complex, and quite frankly, the entire community, and being effective at it.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Dan, calling from D.C., you're concerned about crime. What's on your mind, Dan?
Well, you stole my thunder, Harold. But it was basically, Chief, I know you mentioned about staffing and traffic, but I also have a concern regarding the potential crime that's going to be there. And I'm wondering if part of your resources, are they going to be allocated as off-duty police officers, you know, collaborating with the MGM Grand Security? And you did, you know, like you mentioned, Harold, regarding parking garages, like that one story at Maryland Live where the guy was acted as a valet and, you know, ended up stealing someone's car. So I'm wondering, what will the police department do to minimize, you know, robberies and criminal activity such as that?
So the relationship between the department and the MGM mirrors our relationship with the Redskins organization. It's a very effective partnership. So the question, do we have officers who will be working part-time at MGM? No, we will not. Those will be handled as special events. Those will be officers who will be compensated through the department for their services. That way we can make certain that that is as effective, both in terms of traffic and crime prevention, as possible, similar to the FedEx model. It's a model that we're going to expand with our special events coordination group. That's the assistant deputy chief of the fire department, Ben Barksdale, as the lead, as well as my staff. To your question about the garage, I won't speak to that because I don't know all the facts, but I will say that we will have a presence in that garage. We have collaborated with the MGM security team. We understand how they operate as special police officers and as security professionals, and they have a tremendous depth of talent in that organization. I was just speaking to one of the gentlemen, a retired FBI special agent, and there are a number of Prince George's County police officers retired, now part of that MGM. So they not only understand now the department, but also our community. And I think that's a piece that I can't overemphasize. Having people in the MGM corporate structure now who understand this community and our special needs. And to the question of the crime, again, I can't predict the future. I hope that people will give pause, allow us to engage with this new opportunity and to patronize it, and rest assured that as the traffic evolves, as people patronize it, as things begin to occur, we will change and adapt, and we will become far more adept at dealing with those issues a day, a week, a month after, as we were at the beginning. And Harold, go back to your example. We've learned a lot about FedEx. At the very beginning, is it going to be perfect? No. It's an entirely new venture. But I have some tremendously talented people. I had the assistant chief and the four deputies, as well as my inspector general and Chief Barksdale, out today. And we went from intersection to intersection to intersection, making certain we were all clear on how those intersections should behave and what our goals were. And we've had the similar briefings around crime. We've had similar briefings about explaining to the community what our perspective is, and our goal is motion. But as I said at the beginning, going back to Tawana's question, I'm as invested in making certain that the residents who have lived in that area for years and live there today, I fully expect to meet their needs, just as I expect to meet the needs of people coming into our county to patronize this new venue.
Dan, thank you so much for your phone call. Omar, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling because when I look at this county, this MGM, it's really, they didn't think about this very well. It looks like almost they put the carriage before the horse, because if you look at the roads, they're really not designed. I mean, you're going to see a lot of congestion. They're not really, they didn't really take care of the roads before they put the MGM. But my question is that, I have two questions. First one, this extra security, who's paying for it? Is this in the police budget? Is this coming out of the county or the MGM paying for it? And the second question, in the new police headquarters in Fort Washington, the citizens were asking for that one a long time ago before the MGM even was in consideration. But now that the MGM came in, they put that police station in there. Why is that?
First of all, I think the budgeting question is a really good question. Where is that money coming from?
Okay, so at this point, the MGM represents a corporate citizen in Prince George's County, and we will be supporting this with our resources. But we are negotiating with the MGM so that when they have special events that draw large crowds, then in similar fashion to our relationship with the Redskins organization, the MGM would be providing us funding for those resources. So they're not coming out of the police department budget.
But right now, this is coming out of the police department
budget. Harold, that's correct.
Okay.
As we look as a county at this venue destination and the opportunity presents across a wide spectrum, yes, that's what we're doing now.
Is there a certain allotment or a sub-budget for just this event on Thursday or through the weekend? Do you have any numbers?
So all of those numbers are merely prospective. Mm-hmm. And just as we prepared for the opening of the Tanger outlets, we found quickly that our budgeting projections were far larger than our actual need for resources. We're expecting a similar phenomenon. Again, this is not something that we're completely without experience in. And I also would like to point out, and this is where Mr. Baker gets a lot of credit, this is a countywide initiative. So while the police department has the upfront and principal role in this, you're going to find my partners from the fire department, Chief Bayshore and, again, Chief Barksdale. You're going to find my good partner from the Department of Public Works and Transportation, Mr. Mobley, and his team. You're going to find the executives of the county executive's office in terms of the communication plan, working with my good friend Jen Donlan over here. Very proud to have her on my team, working in conjunction with one another to make this a viable endeavor for the entire county. And back to the caller's one question about when and what precipitated the facility at District 7.
Mm-hmm.
That was a dozen years ago when none of the things that led to MGM were on the table. At that point, it was merely a prospective notion of the National Harbor. Mm-hmm. I was part of those conversations, the public hearings leading to the idea of gaming in Prince George's County, and then the subsequent competition, and then MGM won that. Understand that all of the work for District 7 was going on a dozen years ago because of what I mentioned before about the need to increase the facilities for the land mass and also to anticipate the demand on police services in that portion of the county as the National Harbor became a thriving concern. And this goes back to the lesson that we learned the difficult way between 1965 and 1975, when there was a tremendous influx of population into Prince George's County because it posed a great place for affordable housing. But we as a county, and this comes back to the mandate that I got from Chief High, one of my mentors, Chief McGaw, our county executive, Hank, we can't find ourselves behind in terms of resourcing these things like we did because we can't spend 40 years catching up. And that's where we front-loaded a lot of this. So District 7 was part of our strategic plan for development in South County writ large, but it was not particularly anticipation of MGM, to be clear.
Omar, thank you so much for your phone call. Before I go to a break, I want to ask you one other quick question, if I may. Is there going to be a substation at the casino of sorts?
We are working with Chief Bayshore. They are building a fire station near the new Oxon Hill High School.
I mean, for the police.
No, and what I'm trying to do is to put an actual policing facility there co-located with the fire department because there's economies associated with that. And then we have a National Harbor unit. It's a component of my Special Operations Division where the Marine unit resides because we do have a Marine unit. Again, this is one of the things that gets lost. We have one of the largest departments in the country. We have aviation. We have Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And those Marine unit resources are at the National Harbor because that's where we patrol. Those pieces are part of our strategic plan as well.
Need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Keith from Baltimore. Lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Also going to get a little holiday safety question in as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about public safety issues and the opening of the new MGM National Harbor Casino. Keith, calling from Baltimore. What's on your mind?
Yeah, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Keith. What's on
your mind? Yeah, you know, I'm listening to the callers coming in. And although I will say I don't sit where the chief of police sits, but there are a lot of positive things that's going to come out of this casino. Look at all the people that this casino is going to put to work in Prince George's County and probably parts of Virginia. So it's going to create a lot of jobs. And I've been to every casino, and we have experience up here in Baltimore with the casino, with Horseshoe Casino. But I've been to all of the casinos in the state of Maryland. And every casino that I've been to, there's easy access to interstate highway. So when I hear people calling in and they're saying, oh, well, my community, it reminds me of, you know, it's like I don't see how it impacts the community, but I don't sit where the office is. But the point that I'm trying to say, let's look at the good things that's coming out of this.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of jobs created in Prince George's County as a result of this casino. And most of them are going to be near the interstate, because when I go, I want to be in and out. I don't want to be caught up in the traffic of the town. And everywhere I've gone, Anne Arundel Mills, even in Baltimore, there's the highway, 95 is right there, 295. You're right in on it, and all of them have their closed-in parking facilities, like the officer has already said. You go, you park, you go in the casinos, there's cameras everywhere. This is some kind of displacement of a social hysteria. That's just unnecessary. I think we should look at the good side of it, too.
Well, Keith,
a lot of people
Keith,
will be working.
Thank you so much for your comment, Chief. You want to briefly comment on what Keith is saying?
Keith, I appreciate you bringing that balance to the perspective. But let me say this. What I'm hearing, and this is why I'm here tonight, that I'll be throughout the region for the next couple of days talking about this, is there are valid concerns of our longtime residents. And I'm as invested in making sure we meet their concerns as those who are coming. And again, it's being accessible and having that conversation with people so that we talk in real terms as opposed to about prospectively what may or may not happen. But I think it poses tremendous opportunity for us, and I'm encouraged by what it means for us as a community and a region.
Keith, thank you so much for your comments. Minister Warner calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Just trying to draw a parable or analogy here, and that is that in Washington, D.C., you have the D.C.
Turn your radio down for us, Minister, please.
You have the D.C. You have the D.C. Police Department, but you also have the Capitol Hill Police Department.
Yeah,
Capitol Hill, you have the Supreme Court Police Department. And what I'm trying to understand is that would they not have a National Harbor Police Department story?
Okay, he's asking whether or not there is a National Harbor Police in name or at least in theory.
There are two dozen municipal police departments in Prince George's County that we partner with, but there is not a municipal police department in National Harbor.
Okay. So is there a force that particularly patrols or monitors that National Harbor area? Is that part of a strategy that has been thought about or is under consideration?
Yes. And when we opened District 7, we realigned the police beats in our District 4 where the National Harbor resides to, again, put officers in those population cores to ensure we have presence and to ensure we have the capacity to meet the demand for police services.
Okay. Minister Warner, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to take a shift in this last 10 minutes or so, because obviously 'tis the season for lots of untoward activity. And we have seen nationwide and obviously region-wide, as we see every time during this time of year, where people try to take advantage of the season, whether it's shopping or just this busy time of year in the heads of our Prince George's County residents. You have any thoughts or tips that you would like to share for those that are busy shopping and trying to enjoy this season to protect themselves?
What I would most encourage is that people be dubious of applications, people looking to sell you an item for $200 or $300 less than you know it to be valued, going to a place and trying to exchange that good. We're seeing, and I had a good conversation with some of my partners from the region about this, we're seeing a lot of people try to take advantage of people. And so, again, it's the old axiom. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. And be dubious of those sort of exchanges. Beyond that, please don't leave your iPad, don't leave your phone, don't leave your packages in plain view in your vehicle. There are people who will walk through. And one of the things that we're seeing as well with respect to the new technology, when I was a young man, of course, you had to have a key to your car. Now everything's remote. Make sure you don't leave that. I know it's an expensive item, but don't leave that in your car. Because if you do, and you go and you hit the door, it'll open and the car will start and the car drives off. And some of what we're seeing is people driving off with a car. So you parked your car, Harold, in the parking lot out here. You know where it is. You're coming back to your car. You see somebody in it. That's a problem. So well, they'll get in the car. They'll start it up. They'll drive it two blocks away. And then they take their time and go through it because everybody assumes that's their car. So be careful of your remote key, where you park. Keep it in a well-lit area. Don't leave packages in there. And please, please, parents, again, coming back to some of the things that we've seen in our county this year, question who your young people are interacting with on the smartphones. Question those apps and interactions. And in the same way, question those interactions with respect to people who are, you know, I've got an iPhone and you can have it for $200. Mm-hmm. You're walking into trouble. And with respect to the phenomenon of the citizen robbery, what we're seeing is people making certain they know how much money they're going to get out of that robbery, right? So if you say, I'm going to sell you something for $200, you know that person shows up, they got $200 on them. Whereas if they just pick somebody at random, they might not have anything on them. So increasingly, the people who are participating in that kind of criminal activity are using this technology. They're sophisticated. Let's not underestimate them. And let's really question what they're offering. And again, if it's too good to be true, then it probably isn't true.
How are you addressing gas station carjackings or drive-offs? There's been, and this isn't obviously just a Prince George's County issue. This is, again, an issue about people hopping out, gassing up, doors open. You know, some of my colleagues were just talking about some of their own personal techniques to make sure that they leave with the car that they drove in to fill up.
Well, again, and this is, as you say, a phenomenon really across the country. The need to have that key in the vehicle doesn't exist the way it used to with the remote starts. So turn the vehicle off. Make sure that key is in your pocket. For all of the women out there, please don't leave your purse in the car when you run into the attendant for something at the service station. And then I'm very fortunate. I have a tremendous partner in Angela Alsobrooks. And she and I have had good conversations because what we're doing, you know, if you look back at our county 10 and 20 years ago, the balance of violent crime to property crime was a different proposition. But as we become more effective, as we've driven down that violent crime and driven down fatal collisions, what we're looking at are the things that are impacting people. And so property crime has become a focus. And we're becoming more sophisticated in how we attack that. But she's also looking at that and looking for ways to hold people accountable for that. Because when you have a lot of violent crime in a community, it's easy to say, well, it's just a theft or it's just a car. So we've got larger issues. And what we're trying to do is make that transition so that those issues that, and for the public out there, again, crime solvers, if you're aware of somebody participating in this activity, please call us. You can remain anonymous. You can give us that information. And if you don't think it's impacting you, I only encourage you to look at how it drives up insurance rates and drives down the quality of life.
With that in mind, you talk about sophistication. Last month, you had a press conference about this smart water that really tries to address property crimes. In layman's terms, not only what is it, how does it work, but also how can people get their hands on this?
So smart water is a forensic tagging technology. It is invisible, and it, when applied to a product, is durable. It stays for about 5 years. In the formula, they've put a unique combination of elements, and each is sort of like a DNA fingerprint. Mm-hmm. So no two vials of smart water are the same. So once you apply that, you can't see it. And we can trace that property back to the owner.
So I can put it on the back of my flat screen at home.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
And what we used to talk about, you know, put your social security number, put your – nobody does that. And to be honest, what I've seen is that sophisticated electronics are almost disposable in our society now. Now, the problem with that is that going back to those criminals, they realize that they can dissociate themselves. So what smart water does, to be very brief, it opens that window of hazard. Right now, the hazard for the criminal is when they get it and carry it away. And once you get past that, not a lot of chance that we'll apprehend them. Smart water is there forever. So 2, 3, 5 years from now, using smart water, I can track that property back from the person I got it from after we've apprehended them. I can return it to the owner. And the way you get to smart water, right now we're focusing on Mr. Baker's 9 transforming neighborhood initiative areas. We'll be supplying those neighborhoods with smart water.
So if I lived in one of those neighborhoods, how could I get my hands on some, and how much does it cost?
And I'm glad you asked. We have, and this is something I'll be talking a lot more about in 17, but our 21st century policing platform, Nextdoor, is run by our COPS officers. It's an application that allows us to communicate mm-hmm. and get information from the public. Through that, you can contact your COPS officer in those TNI areas, and they can come out, have a conversation with you, provide you with smart water. In those 9 TNI areas, we're providing the smart water because of Crime Solvers and the Police Foundation, and we actually have some corporate partners at this point.
Chief Hank Stawinski, Prince George's County, Maryland, thank you so much for coming in. Good luck on Thursday, and don't spend all your coins.
No, sir.
If you have a chance to do anything there.
It's been a privilege to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And don't be a stranger. We will be looking forward to talking to you again down the road.
I'd love to.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, December 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher, WHUR, on Twitter at H Fisher, WHUR, or at Daily Drum, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3